Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots. I'm here with my good friend, Nicole Buchanan. Nicole, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I will probably readjust the sound 8 more times while we're doing this.
It's okay.
Ruined. I only film for clips and I ruin all of them because you'll be talking and I'll be leaning over, turning stuff up.
I'm just really quiet because I have low self-esteem and I think everything I have to say is garbage, so I say it in a lower voice.
Oh, God damn it, Nicole. You guys, this is one of the fucking funniest people I know. She's an incredible comedian, an amazing roaster. I am blowing out my speaker. So just keep it really close to your, right in front of you. It's a shitty...
I'll try to talk louder.
Listen, you guys, if anyone out there is an extremely affordable audio engineer. Anyway, yeah, you're so fucking funny. We're just going to dive in.
Okay.
This is... Welcome to therapy. That's not what it is, but why do you have a low self-esteem? Where does that come from? Because you are hilarious, you're cool, you're nice, you're cute. Is this too deep? Should we have started on... Let's get to know Nicole first, and then I'm going to circle back.
Well, it's a good question. childhood, probably.
Girl, me too. How dare I ask anyone that?
Also, don't we all as... I feel like women all... We're just told we should have low self-esteem our whole lives.
Yeah, I feel like even women who have confidence, I feel like have to pretend a little that they're like, but what do I know? The amount of times I've gone, but I could be wrong. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm not fucking wrong.
That's the thing. I think that's the thing. It's like you learn growing up. I think I learned growing up that if I was feeling good about myself, someone was going to want to tear me down. Someone was going to want to tell me, okay, you're not that great.
The haters were going to come out of nowhere.
And then if I was like, I'm terrible and I'm awful, then people would be like, oh my God, no, you're great. No. And then so you just learn that behavior and that way of thinking of just like, oh, people aren't going to like me if I like myself.
It is crazy. I mean, we do that. Like when someone's really confident.
Yeah.
Even if they're good at something.
Yeah.
It's like people go, ugh, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Did you watch that documentary about, it was the U.S. Olympic track team? Mm-hmm. It's fucked up that I don't know his name because he's an incredible runner, track person, track star. He's a star. He's this Noah. He's this young kid who runs the 200 and the 400, I think. I don't know, 100. I don't know what they are. Mm-hmm. But the arrogance of this man. But he's the best. And I'm still like, you can't act like that.
Yeah, I don't know where the middle ground is of just, confidence. I guess that's not confidence, it's cockiness.
And yeah.
There's, a difference. I feel like there's a quiet confidence that I would love to acquire.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know how. I feel like I have it every once in a while. I'll have, one day out of every 3 months where I'm like, am I actually the best?
Oh my God, and me
then,
too.
I'm and like, then the next day I'm like, nah,
I was just ovulating.
I should kill myself, actually. It is when you're ovulating, isn't it?
You literally look hotter when you're ovulating. Have you seen stuff about that?
How do we bottle this feeling?
I don't know, but if we could.
Like, literally, how do we bottle
ovulation in a bottle? I mean, is that just estrogen injections?
Incredible, like, for, like, 2 days out of the month.
Yeah.
The rest, I feel like shit.
Yeah, where you're like, how have I ever doubted myself? And you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my God.
You're like, I'm hot. I have no appetite. Like, I'm a skinny.
That's also fucked up, where it's like, oh, when I feel the skinniest, I feel the best. That's a whole fucking... And living in LA makes it so much worse. There's part of me that wants to be like, with comedy, it's not about what I look like. It doesn't care. It's probably funnier if I'm sloppy.
Yeah.
But then also sex sells. So.
It does. It sucks because like I'll post these clips and like, which we were talking about hating posting clips, but like I'll post these clips and people would be like, what's wrong with her makeup? And what's wrong? And I'm like, do I have to be a comedian and a model and a makeup artist?
And a fucking editor and a marketing manager? Yeah, what's wrong with her makeup is nobody taught her how to do fucking makeup.
Nobody taught me.
Is that we didn't have YouTube tutorials in our day. Right. You just learned from your one girlfriend who told you, just put more eyeliner.
Yeah. And I don't know. And I think that too, I'm like, doesn't it make you... like less funny to be hot. Like it's funnier if you make like dumb, ugly facial expressions and whatever. And why do I care? But yeah, people want you to be hot and funny at the same time.
Yes, so you have to be like hot, but like willing to be ugly. Like, it makes no fucking sense. Because I think the ugly sides of us make the funniest comedy.
For sure.
Like exposing or talking about. I mean, my favorite things watching comics. I mean, there's so many comedians I love for very different reasons and their styles, but when someone brings up something that I'm like, damn, I thought that was only me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're talking about a thing that, like, I guess this is universal, and I thought it was just a gross thing I did.
Yeah,
but
now
you're saying you do it. That's my favorite thing. But we're supposed to be, I mean, I go back and forth between being like, they just don't want us to, they don't want to let us be hot. They don't want to accept that hot women can also be smart. But then sometimes I do see a hot woman doing comedy and I'm like, they're laughing a little harder because she's hot.
Right.
But that's what pisses me off when hot girls will be like, it's harder. Have you ever seen a hot person be like, it's harder for us because they just like don't believe I'm funny. And it's like, you have a longer runway because you come on stage and everyone's like, I want to be your best friend.
Yeah. You know what's funny is like, I remember first coming around and being like angry that... that none of the, like, comics that... So, like, I feel like there are kind of older male comics that, whatever, will have female comics open for them, or they'll, like... There are some comics that just get opportunities because they're hot, and those comics are attracted to them, and I remember being like, why don't any of these comics want to fuck me?
You're like, I don't want to fuck them, but I want them to want to fuck me.
And, like, I was just mad that I felt like I don't get those opportunities. And then the minute a comedian, like, that I thought was, like, trying to help me, wanted to fuck me, I was like, oh, this sucked.
It's the fucking worst.
It sucks on both sides.
Yeah, it turns out for women, there is no winning. But it's like, well, if there is no winning, I wish I was hot.
I know.
Like.
Well, you know what's funny? I remember when we did a live historical roast. And I remember they asked you to be Amy Winehouse and me to be Janis Joplin. And I was like, fuck. I was so jealous because I was like, she's skinny enough to be Amy Winehouse.
That's so funny. I was just like, wow, they really were scraping the barrel if I'm Amy Winehouse. That's what I thought. I was like, you guys fucking, is this the best you could do? Thank you. I never so thought jealous. Of that. Mm-hmm. I was jealous because I love Janis Joplin.
I love Janis Joplin too. And the more I like read about her, the more I was like, oh, I like identify so much, because then I read like how much they would call like her ugly and all that stuff. And then at the time I was doing I don't do roast battle a lot anymore,
yeah,
or at all anymore, I'll judge or whatever, but I was getting called ugly constantly.
That fucking, I mean, I know people who are I don't want to say in the system, but people who like used to do roast battle a lot and they, you know, they love it and it's fun or it's creating opportunities. But man, there's no way that doesn't chip away at it. I mean, are there people who just go, yep, I'm fat and stupid?
Yes, I think there are. I know a couple of them, but like, they're dudes and they're like, whatever.
Men are allowed to be disgusting.
They're allowed to be disgusting. And like, they're seen as sexy for it.
Yeah, know? They're like, oh, he's just so free.
There are some just like hot, fat male sex symbols.
Yeah, that are just like raking it in. Just pussy coming at him from all sides.
I wish there was like the female James Gandolfini to just like make us feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, like if Vicky Barbalack would come in with a slew of male comics just following behind her like little ducklings.
I would love that.
No shade to Vicky. it's like, oh, it seems so mean. But, you know, she's an older lady.
Yeah.
But like, was there stuff in Roast Battle that, I've asked you this off air before, but the reason I never did Roast Battle, because I would sometimes write jokes for friends, mm-hmm. and then like I almost did one, but Keith Carey had to cancel because it was more important for him to roast Jamar Neighbors. Go fuck yourself. This is so long ago, I don't actually care. But I did find a page of when I first started writing jokes, and it was just stream of consciousness, fat, bisexual, bad teeth. And I was like, wow, what an art.
Yeah.
And it is. I ended up giving my Keith jokes to other people who roasted him. But my biggest fear and why I didn't want to do it was like, my self-esteem's already 6 feet under.
Yeah.
I think I'm, like, hyper-aware of all my flaws. If I were to get up there and someone mentioned something that I don't know and the crowd goes crazy, I'm like, that might be it for me.
Yeah.
Did that happen to you?
Yes. Well, nothing, I guess, that nothing I hadn't thought of, but, like, it just was more exaggerated, I guess. Like, I never thought that I was super hot. But I never thought I was, like, hideous.
But Roast Battle makes it seem like you're a fucking goblin that lives under the...
Oh, my God. It makes you feel like you must be the most hideous creature on the planet. And, like, I tried to pretend like it didn't get to me. Like, I wanted to be, like, I'm, like, savage.
You know? I'm mean. I'm, like, I don't
savage
care.
Savage roast queen. Like, I don't give a fuck. And, like, I remember... remember one time Jeff was like, Jeff Ross was like, none of this phases you at all. It's crazy. Brian Moses, who hosts the show, he was on stage like, you say that, Jeff. But
yeah, she calls me crying from her car.
Yeah. I
can't come back this week, Brian. Stop asking me.
It would depend on where I was at emotionally and how I was feeling about myself, obviously. Like, And it would also depend on how my jokes went.
Like, if yours did well,
yeah,
it was easier, like, to handle it.
Whatever, yeah, maybe I'm ugly, but I'm
funnier than you,
right? Yeah. So,
but you fucking suck at this.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Also, like, every dude that called me ugly on stage tried to fuck me at one point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's comedy in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's just a pile of people negging each other.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in a lot of ways, I think I gained a lot of confidence doing that show.
Yeah, because of how great you were at roasting and at, like, opportunities.
Because there were just moments that made me feel very confident. And also, there were times where it was like, it made me kind of accept my flaws and just be like, whatever, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah,
and
you're like, well, we all have our fucking demons.
And, like, I already had insecurities about, like, certain that, like, my eyes, which people made fun of a lot, and people told me my whole life, like, they thought I was high all the time or whatever.
You have bedroom eyes.
Bedroom eyes. It's the, yes.
Which is is like such a backhanded compliment, because I've gotten it too, and it's like, oh, it looks like I'm passing out.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Which is what no woman wants to hear.
I got a message after a show last week that I was like, no message I've ever gotten after a show has made me want to kill myself more. And it was, the worst part was they were like trying, it was well-intentioned.
Oh no.
Right?
What did it say?
I did a
Revisit
show.
Revisit the feeling.
I did a show in Oxnard, and then at like 3 a.m, I get a message request on Instagram, and it was like, it started out with, you okay, sis?
Uh-oh.
And then it was like, she said something like, I was really looking forward to seeing you tonight, but I could tell you were exhausted. And she was like, best of luck with whatever you're going through. Know that you at least have a stranger in your corner.
Oh, good. A stranger in the corner. Just what we're all hoping for.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, I really get, I guess I was not hiding how.
I mean, that is a fucking.
Depressed.
I that's know. A punch in the gut. To be like, really? Oh, is. From the crowd? Even yeah. me doing my memorized bits that I've done 100 times mm-hmm. didn't fool anyone. Or at least didn't fool this stranger in the corner. PSA. Don't tell anyone, but especially women, like, that they seem tired. Yeah. Exhausted. Out of it.
By the way, I was. I hadn't slept in 2 days, but I thought I was hiding it really well.
Isn't that the fucking worst?
You know, I was like, trying to remember the words to my jokes on stage.
But still.
Don't. Tell me you could tell.
How dare you? Just say loved the show. Just follow me and share one of my fucking clips.
I don't know why, but like someone accidentally insulting you while trying to be well-intentioned is so much worse than just someone being like, you were terrible tonight, you ugly bitch.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you wanted to be nice and it was still. That's all you could muster.
Yes.
Was, hey, also it's one thing
or
to be like.
Being worried about you. I can't.
It's the worst feeling. And that's the like. Clusterfuck mindfuck of depression is the well you should talk to someone. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to fucking send people into a goddamn tailspin.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a rough patch.
Yeah.
It's well listen, we're gonna take a break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk more about depression. Probably. Okay. Be right back.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging, it's often your hormones too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ow. I hit my hat and it hurt me. It's fine. We're back.
That was adorable.
It never gets any better. I just want you to know that. Nothing you achieve will take away the dark pit. And you should have been here off camera, guys. It was a fun conversation. Wait. I don't know how we got on it off camera, but I want to talk about it. Well, I guess Nicole was like, I don't know, I hope you didn't notice me rubbing my eyes. She wasn't crying. If you're watching, if you're one of the 10 people watching this on YouTube.
My eyes water a lot.
Yeah. And then
and
I
then
started.
I like sniffle a lot.
Yeah. And I started talking about how unfortunate it is for you guys that I'm always in the mic. And then we started talking about misophonia, which if you guys don't know, it's like, I don't know if it's not like a fear. It's like a hatred of certain sounds, like
it's
chewing
like,
and.
Yeah. Certain sounds just like elicit rage. within you. And I, you know, I think I have it, and my dad definitely had it. Like, I remember as a kid, just, like, constantly, he'd be like, stop chewing!
Like, okay, like, I'll just sit here with food in my mouth.
And I just thought my dad was a dick, which he can be.
Yeah, it can be both. By the way, this fucking thing of, well, they have this condition. Yeah. That's like, yeah, but you can also be an asshole. You can be autistic and a cunt, and those are separate. Like, you know?
Absolutely.
You could be ADHD, and I hate you for other reasons. Yeah. And I say that as someone who's ADHD, who hates myself, but...
100%.
Wait, so do you think you have it, or you thought you had it?
I thought I had it, because I'm like, sometimes it does piss me off, but like, I realized it was usually in relationships, so I feel like maybe they were just pissing me off.
You just hated, like, you just so started to hate everything about them.
I just started to hate the way they breathe.
Isn't that such a real thing, when you start getting over someone that, like... If you're over a relationship, so many things that you either overlooked or you're like, it's cute, it's charming, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
Dude, I know it's the end of days when, and this is, when anyone I'm dating, like, when their farts start to piss me off. Yeah. When it's not, like, it's not funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is headed down a dark path.
I feel like I should just never be in relationships. Because I feel like I'm a nice person. I feel like I'm a pretty chill person.
I would agree with that.
But the minute I'm in a relationship with someone, I'm just the hugest cunt. Like, I feel like everything they do annoys me. Their jokes aren't funny. Everything they do embarrasses me. Like, we're in public and I'm like, you're embarrassing. And I just, like, I think once I start to see someone as, like, an extension of myself, which I should not.
Which is not how relationships should be, but a lot of us do it, where we go.
A lot of us do
it. I do it with friendships. Like, if I'm really close friends with someone and people start, do you ever have that thing where, like, you're hanging out with someone a lot, and then all of a sudden you show up somewhere, and people will be, it's like, a friend.
Yeah.
And people will be like, oh, where's so-and-so? And you're like, well, I don't know. Yeah. And then, like, anything they do, you're like, if people don't like that, they're gonna... People don't like them, they're gonna not like me!
Yes. And, well, and I was like that with my family as a kid. Like, if my dad was doing something...
Horrified. I was mortified by my family as
my
a kid.
My dad used to get drunk and pretend to be retarded. I don't want to say that.
Yeah, fucking... retard's coming back.
Like, remember in the 90s when people would do those, like, retard impressions? Like,
yeah.
You know which ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, I did them.
My dad...
But in 7th grade, I used to have my friends push me around the grocery store in a car, and I would just pretend. And nothing was, like, we were poor, we had nowhere to go, nothing was funnier to us. And that's fucked up! But your grown dad, and you're out in public.
My grown dad would be, like, at a Shakey's Pizza.
Why is this so...
Doing the voice, and I'm not going to do the voice, but he would be like, that's my daughter.
Well, he was just, I am,
like,
Sam.
Pointing at me, and I go in the bathroom and just, like, hide and, like, cry. And, like, my mom would be like, your dad is not a reflection of you.
And you're like, I literally am half him. That lives deep in my soul.
And then, like, when I became a comedian, it put a stop to all of that, of him trying to embarrass me in public, because then I was just, like, I would start pulling out my phone and recording it, because I was like, this is content, baby. I get to make fun of my dad online. He was like, no, delete that! And just put a stop to it.
Somewhere your dad is sitting, thinking about how you stole his joy.
He's like, he got so much joy out of embarrassing me, and then I was like, I don't have shame anymore, and I'm gonna embarrass you.
Yeah, it's your turn.
But he used to, he used to do that, but yeah, I think then growing up, I started to see people I dated as, like, a reflection of me, and that made me very critical of them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better about that. I definitely noticed that that was a problem, and I knew when I was doing it, I felt like a bitch.
Yeah, you're like, this
why
is
am
just
I not
person
allowing
existing.
My boyfriend to experience joy.
But is there, like... potentially, like, a gray area of, I mean, do you look back at all your relationships and go, he was great?
No. I was good. I was right a lot of the time.
Like, I was like, is there a world where maybe some of the guys you dated were, like, embarrassing?
All of them.
And I say that as someone who has a laundry list of embarrassments in my past.
Yeah, well, like, the last guy I dated had, like, zero shame, and I'm like, you should have a little bit of shame.
The amount of men, especially
just a little bit.
Anywhere...
You should be embarrassed sometimes.
Yeah. most of the time.
Yeah. It does. There is a reason for it. I think it's because...
Misophonia?
I just burped inside.
Dude, trying to keep a burp in? Props to you. You tried. Disgusting. Whatever, I do it all the time. I used to also go to this woman who did acupressure. It was like this weird trauma release, and she would just constantly be like, burr, burr, burr. And I'm like, she's not going to mention it? You're not going to go, I know, but you can't keep them in.
I have a lot of anxiety.
Why am I laughing?
But I think that my anxiety, yeah, makes me just like, treat the people that I love most and see as an extension of myself like shit sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us, it's like, there's a certain level of closeness where you can almost take for granted.
Yes.
A person where it like becomes, it's like a level of intimacy where it somehow becomes okay for you to like take out your emotions on that person. Like, it's a safe space for all the fucking shit we end up absorbing in our work life, in our social life, in being a human, especially a woman alive, that like has to be like, I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
And then occasionally it's like, do I hate what they're doing so much? Or is this also, I'm fucking mad at 3.5 years of this XYZ not like giving me the work I deserve, or like
yeah,
being mistreated at my job or at like a social event or at fucking the grocery store. And we just go, it's fucking you. Yeah. It's like, oh, you just love me, maybe. But I don't know.
It's a
mixed bag. Because there's people I've dated where I'm like, yeah, I wasn't in a good place. Like, there's full relationships where I go, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I was not. And it's not even like saying those people sucked.
Yeah.
Or like, it's just like, that wasn't a match. I just was like, they're going to date me and I'm lonely.
I think that was like all my 20s. Like my whole 20s was just like, I just don't want to be alone and this person likes me. Or doesn't like me. And if I prove to them that I'm worthy of them, then that means that I'm worthy. And so now I've dedicated all my time to proving to this person that I'm worth loving.
Yeah, this person who does not matter. Who you're later going to look back and go, that person was a fucking idiot. Who cares what they think?
Like, I...
Dude, your 20s is...
To anyone in their 20s who thinks they're, like, hung up on someone or heartbroken over someone, I know, like, you're going to hear this now and be like, but I love it. Oh, my God.
It's different.
You're going to think back later and be like, how embarrassing.
You're going to... Yeah, you're going to shudder. Like,
you're going to be like, oh, I don't even want people to know I dated that person.
Literally. Where it's like, you'll have a full-on long-term relationship and then years later go, I mean, you know, we had a little thing.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it a relationship. You live together.
Yeah.
We're more like roommates.
I turned 30 and just immediately was, my standards went up significantly.
Good.
I think. I mean, I just haven't dated anyone since.
Can I ask how old you are? You don't want to say.
31.
You're 31?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll turn 32 in April.
You just haven't. The thing is your 30s does change. Like, your tolerance for bullshit, you realize, like, so much about yourself. You start realizing, like, none of my value, like, who gives if I'm in a relationship or not? And I think, and maybe that'll start changing generationally as we get older and, like, our values get passed down to, I mean, I'm probably not gonna have kids. These fucking, I have one egg holding on by a thread. But it does, like, so much of women's value still, at least, like, my age, and, like, I'm a couple years older than you, is, like, even though I never was picturing, like, my wedding, all that matters, there is a big part of you that it's almost like checking the box of, I succeeded as a human because I found a partner that you have to let go of. And, I mean, I would love to tell you that after my 30s, I never had a bad relationship. But to be fair, one of them was during pandemic, and I will die on the hill of, we would have broken up sooner, but I was just...
The pandemic, look.
I couldn't be alone.
I think we went through a breakup at, like, the same...
Huh? Yes, because you came and stayed with me.
I came and stayed with you because I was like, we're gonna take whatever a week or two apart and then we're gonna be fine. And then he broke up with me over text.
What a piece of shit. Okay, like, I don't care what generation it is,
we lived together for a year, and we were together for 2 years, and I was like, yeah, let's just take some space. And I came and I stayed with you, and then he broke up with me over text. He would say that's not how it happened. That's absolutely how it happened.
He's a piece of shit, is what I would say about how everything happened. Yeah, no, we're both just trying to comfort each other and just fucking like, no, fuck them. We're gonna move on.
You were so
manic.
You were so kind to me during that time, and I don't know what I would have done without you.
And
the fact that I was able to stay with you and go through that with somebody and just being sad.
I know. And I felt so bad because I knew the feeling of, like, I wanted to be there for you and be a friend, but I also know the feeling of, like, please just leave me alone in my sadness.
And so
I was like, I'm here if you need me. Yes. But also, you don't have to need me.
You were so perfect. I most of the time just lock myself away in your guest room. but then I do remember one night where we were just laughing, hysterically. It made me feel so much better.
It's just, there's, nothing like, and I forget this, or I'm such a workaholic that I have a problem where, I don't know if you can resonate with this, but I call it workaholism, but I think there's definitely, a self-worth thing attached to it, where even though there are comedians who I'm like, we're definitely friends, but I don't feel like there's very many people I'm comfortable reaching out to hang out without working on something. Without going, let's do a thing.
Yes. Well, because I think whenever I think about reaching out to someone and being like, let's hang out, in my mind, they're going to be like, ugh.
I know, me too. And
I don't want to ever make someone feel like I'm forcing them to hang out.
I know, but then it's also fun to hang out with people you like, but I get the same way. Mm-hmm. And then I think so many of us do. And then we're all sitting there not reaching out to anyone.
I isolate like crazy.
Oh, it's so easy for me to isolate. And there's something so, I don't want to say healing sounds so fucking gay. And I know I'm not supposed to call things gay, but we already said retard. So it's the 90s. Yeah. Just spending time with friends, but especially girlfriends, when it's like, we're not talking about work. We're laughing about dumb shit. Mm-hmm. I don't do enough of that.
Yeah.
And I keep being like, I'm going to make a concentrated effort. I'm going to start reaching out. And then I'll go, busy. It's nighttime. They have a show. I just don't have a show tonight. And I'm panicking.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, like, I have a partner. I live with him. Partner? Ew. We're non-binary bisexuals who are... pansexual. No, he is very much a cishet straight male, whatever you want to call it, Twitter.
It is funny how partner
has, it's disgusting.
It is, but also when you're like, my boyfriend, it's like,
I'm in my mid to nearly late 30s, being like, my boyfriend is just like, fucking grow up. Yeah. It's all gross. Just ask me to marry you, Nate. Because it's gross to say boyfriend.
This dude I fucking live with, you know?
Yeah. We cohabitate. There is also, when someone says partner, and I find out that they're, a heterosexual couple.
It makes me so angry.
When a woman goes, my partner, I go, okay, so it's, a lesbian, or
they've got, non-binary.
Non-binary, trans partner. When I find out it's just, a guy, fuck you. Partner.
Yeah.
But, god damn it. Hang on. Sorry, gang. I love him, and I'm glad, it's nice to have a person to lean on.
Everything that comes out of your mouth.
I mean, welcome to being alive. And I'm grateful, and that is, a nice support system, but it's not, you have to have, your friends. You have to have girlfriends, and most of the women I'm the closest to are, from my past and don't live here. Mm-hmm. And then... something happens with comedy, and maybe it doesn't happen and it's all in my head, but there's this, it's taken a long time for me to not, view other women as, we're all competing for one spot. When I first started, and I've gotten over that, and I truly am, if you're funny, you'll rise, working together, it just helps us. No, the world is never going to go, we've left enough, you know,
it's not our fault. I think I remember when I started comedy and I would mention like a woman who I thought was funny or pretty or anything like that. And some dude would always come in and be like, you're funnier than her. And it's just like,
yeah.
Why?
Why are you doing that? I'm funnier than you too, you stupid piece of shit.
Yeah, and I feel like I would never, like, if a guy was, like, talking about his friend who's funny, I would never be like, yeah, but you're way funny. Like, it just...
It's so weird.
Why do you feel the need to say
that? Why do people do that? I mean, I literally, my first couple years of comedy, would have people say things like, this is a direct quote, but this is multiple times I heard things in this realm. I don't even consider you a woman because of how funny you are. Mm-hmm. And I would just go, yeah. What? Thanks. But like...
Yeah, a bigger comic did tell me that they forgot I had a vagina because my jokes were good. And I was like, that's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah, that's not a compliment. But thank you for not thinking of me as a vagina.
I also had, like, kind of an old school, like, and I get it. Like, these guys that I'm in writers' rooms with, they're kind of, like, old school comedy writers. And
yeah,
they,
they've been in the fucking game. Because you guys, I didn't say it, but, like, you've written for, I mean, what are some, you've, like, so many roasts.
Yeah, I've written, you know, for a lot of roast award shows.
She's killing it.
Thanks. but I'll be in these rooms and these guys will say stuff to me sometimes. A lot of times I'll be the only woman or one of two women or whatever.
You're one of the good ones.
But that's exactly how they talk to me. Like, that's what, that's the energy around everything they say to me.
Yay!
Yeah. And it's just that one of them one time was like, oh, yeah, you're funny in the way. And these are two of my friends who also have written on a lot of things that I wrote, but Keith Carey and Connor McSpadden.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy goes, yeah, you're funny in the way Keith and Connor are funny, but you're a girl.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just funny?
Yeah. And he meant it as a compliment, but I was like, what a weird thing to say.
Yeah, you're like, wow, what a great observation. How are you smart enough to be in this room? Why would you?
Well, and he's a very funny, very talented, successful writer. But when he said that to me, I was like, that's an insane thing.
Yeah, well, and it just goes to show you that, like, especially, like, these old school people, like, I don't even, like, think, shit like that isn't even, it's not their fault. Like, they were never... The industry didn't elevate funny women. There's so much garbage that goes on behind the scenes in comedy or at clubs. It feels very boys clubby. Women were, like, intimidated to come around.
And by the way, I'll say these guys that I've worked with, so supportive.
Yeah.
So supportive, so great. Like, none of them are like, ew, a woman. Like, you know what I mean?
They just never saw it. So now they're like,
I swear to God, like, part of the reason that I've gotten so many writing jobs, not to discount whatever.
No, but they go, we gotta have a woman in the room.
But I will be in there, and then I'll work with these guys once, and then they'll go into another room, and they'll go, okay, we need a woman. They'll go, I know a woman!
I'm the one lady!
I'm the one lady they know, that they're like, that they think is funny. And so I benefited from that a lot.
Yeah, well, you know what? I used to get so mad about that, because that would be how my first few years, it's like, I'd be on so many lineups that, I mean, people would literally go, well, we need a woman. Mm-hmm. Who do we call?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I can go. I don't want your fucking the woman spot, but it's like, no, whatever. If you go open the door, I'm getting my foot in however you're opening it.
Here's the thing. There are 10 dude spots and one woman spot. So
you're like, why not just
the woman spot is harder to get.
Yeah. You're competing for one spot where like 100 people competing for 10 spots was 100 people competing for one.
What's annoying is when I don't mind them being like, we need a woman, because yeah, you do. But
yeah, you do.
What's annoying is if they go, a lot of them go, any woman.
Well, that's what happens with...
And then they just fill it with someone who is funny.
Yeah.
Or not that successful or not that... And then people go to a comedy show and they see 9 funny dudes and 1 hot, unfunny woman.
And they go, women aren't funny.
And they go, women aren't funny.
It makes me so fucking
mad.
It's
just like, if you're going to be someone who's like, I need a woman on my show... Because you're trying to be a good...
Progressive. I need an XYZ minority. I need a gay person.
You are making it worse if you're just going any woman.
Yeah. Do your fucking research.
Only book funny women.
Yeah. It's so insulting to funny women, funny minorities, funny gay people. I don't know. I guess we're all minorities in our own, like, box. But, like, yeah, that they'll just... there's no diligence in booking. It's just like, a lady who does it, get up there. And then it makes us all, I can't tell you the amount, when I see a woman going up on a show and I've never seen her, I am in the back going, please crash.
Yes.
Please. And I think about it every time I go on stage on a show and I am the only woman, and I've said it on stage, like at the store when it's fucking after midnight and I'm having a weird set, and I go, you know what's crazy is that I'm having a bad set, but you guys are just going to leave and go, women aren't funny.
Yeah. I am representing all womankind right now.
Yeah. Five of the 10 guys on this lineup ate shit, but I have to represent all of us.
Yeah.
And it's like not even bombing. You're doing okay, but you're like, if I don't crush, they're stacking me against, they're like, fuck, she didn't blow it out of the water.
It's funny because you were talking about being like competitive with women. I don't know that I feel that, but I definitely feel like I'm more critical.
Yeah. Wait, let's take a quick break and we're going to come back because I want to talk about this. We're back and we are still talking about, being more critical of women. And it's like probably unfair, but it's because I'm critical of myself.
Yes. Yeah. It's me, like, it's me being like, represent us well, please. Like,
yeah. Please, you know, don't get up there and let half the audience think women aren't funny, especially if I'm up later on the lineup. Now it's a different hole to dig out of.
Yeah. And that's probably unfair. It's unfair to do, to be, because, you know, people are already more critical of women in general. I just want us to be better.
I know.
I was saying this the other day. There was, I'm not going to say what clip or who, but there was a clip.
I will be asking you off air, though.
There was a crowd work clip that was posted recently that everyone was just kind of like, yes, queen, about, you know what I mean? And I was just like, I hate that energy. I hate when people give women that energy on stage, when they're like not being funny, but they're like,
you're powerful. You're stepping into
making a point, or they're yelling at a dude, or like whatever it is, when everyone's just like, yes, I'm like,
get him. I hate when fucking anyone does it, but like,
I just like, I feel like you're putting us like we're in a different, like, what is this, a special?
Like that you have to lower the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, and this is mean and wrong, but so is the world. It's the same when a fucking, look, I'm not proud of what I'm about to say, but when a big, nasty, fucking ugly person posts a video showing their body off, photo, whatever, and people go, oh my god, yes, work. It's a bunch of people, by the way, who don't, it's other women, gay people, nobody wants to fuck that person, is just going, and I'm not saying nobody wants to fuck that person, but I'm saying people are just like, yes, work, and it's like, how fucking dare you, like, encourage, yeah. It's the same as, like, kind of what we were saying at the beginning of, if you, you know, going like, oh, I'm ugly, I'm gross, and people go, no, they lift you up, like, I have, this is my example, I have an unnecessary amount of stomach fat for the rest of my body. It makes no sense. I have the stomach of someone who is morbidly obese and lost a bunch of weight. Like, it looks like, oh, maybe, like, I've never been extremely heavy, but I just have, like, a carry extra weight. Yeah. Yeah. And I have for years, like, at random instances, mentioned it to friends, been like, I don't know, this kind of looks like a pooch. And the amount of female friends, I don't even see what you're talking about. What are you? No, you're being crazy.
Sometimes, like, I think that is true, where, like, you are so hyper-focused on something
that nobody sees it.
And nobody sees
it. Oh, absolutely. But then I made my
editor. I've always thought of you as a small person.
Thank you. I've never thought of myself as big. I just, like, in certain outfits, it's unflattering.
Yes, I know what you're saying. By the way, have you ever been, this is such a weird question, but have you ever been tested for diabetes?
No, but yesterday, this is so crazy. Yesterday, I felt my blood sugar plummet in a way where I started Googling about it, and I was like, do I have diabetes?
Because I think that's a lot of people who have diabetes, that's, they, like, carry all their weight in their stuff.
Yeah, I think it's, I also think I just have, like, a wild amount of, like, child trauma stress. I think it's cortisol, too.
I think I have that, too.
Yeah, and I also, the smallest things, it's not always, but I didn't realize what was happening was that I was getting triggered, but I'll have random times where I get, I don't know what another word besides triggered, but I can just feel, like, adrenaline and stuff over things that are so small.
Yeah.
That, like, if I'm being level and focused and I look back, I go, that was nothing.
But I'm so easily overwhelmed.
Yes. Like, and I think I'm constantly dumping it.
But are you like, okay, so I'll get like really overwhelmed, but the minute there's like a real thing, like a thing that
everyone, I'm hyper, I'm in, I'm okay. I'm
everyone else is freaking out. I'm like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Like,
yeah.
I'm the one who's
calm. In an emergency, it's but like when, everything slows down and I've got it.
Everyone else is like, everything's fine. I'm like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. It's like my body is prepared for chaos and it's not happening. So it's like, I'm creating it.
Yeah. So like, it's strange, but I'm the same way. I'm very easily overwhelmed. I'm always stressed. And it's weird because I'll go to a doctor, which I've stopped going to doctors because every time I have an issue, I go to a doctor and they go, it's stress. And I go, what the fuck do I do about that? They're like, I don't know. You just lower the stress in your life. And I'm like, I honestly don't even know what I'm stressed about. I think my body is just always stressed about what could happen.
Oh yeah. No, the way that my brain will, without trying in every situation I'm in, think of the worst things that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, okay, we're just making a fucking Rolodex of that at all times.
Or take something that already did happen and find everything that went wrong.
Oh, dude.
Like, something that maybe went well, but I'm sitting there like, but this one person in the crowd was looking at me like they hated me.
Yeah. And so it's a failure and I'm a fucking loser and I should quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
And I think I recently became friends with someone who I think does that even worse than I do. And I think it's made me kind of try to start to think differently.
Dude, sometimes...
Because when they're... I'm like, you're a psycho. Like, something will go really well, and they're like, that was terrible. And I'm like, you're psychotic.
I've had that happen to me, too. Like, and I almost... Sometimes I think this is so woo-woo, but I'm like, oh, the universe sent me this person.
Mm.
So I... Because it's like, watch... And I've caught myself doing it in other instances where it's like... complaining about things, and this really goes back to what I was saying about like trying to find the balance of like just friend time with people who you work in the same field with, where we're all at different levels and those levels are constantly changing. Someone could pop and like it doesn't sustain for, or like whatever, it's everyone's on a different journey. But trying to just avoid bringing up, like, when you're just trying to like, let's hang out and be humans, and sometimes it naturally comes up and there's things where it's like uncomfortable to talk about because maybe you have this thing that your other friend doesn't have and you're like, it doesn't mean anything, but I, you know, can I celebrate my win with you without you thinking you're a failure?
Yeah.
But like, you're watching someone who's objectively further along and having more success complain about that level of success I've had that happen and it's been eye-opening to me too, where I go, I've caught myself.
Yeah.
We're like, how dare I complain about my main room set to my friend who's a door guy.
We all find ourselves doing that for sure.
Yeah. And it's like,
and I can feel people being like, fuck you, when I'm like, I feel like I'm going like, but it's, you forget that it doesn't matter what level you get to, you're going to be like, yeah, but I'm not doing this, or I'm not here yet.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, we're constantly moving the goalpost, or like,
you're never going to feel like you're doing that.
Which
it
is,
never ends.
It's just
like, I have friends that are some of the most fucking famous people in the country right now, and they're like, I feel like I'm not. And I'm like
you're selling out.
You this never ends.
You. Yeah.
And, this literally never ends.
And, like, on one end, it's like, well, it's good because like, as humans, we should strive to, like, how can I be better? How can I do more? What's next? Like, could I go beyond this? But then... missing the ability to appreciate where we're at sometimes is a bummer. Because, I mean, I think we all say it, and it's such a fucking trope where you want to go, yeah, fuck you. But, like, you know, if me 10 years ago could see where I'm doing, what I'm doing, they'd be like, oh my God, we did it.
Yeah.
And then I'll have days now where I go, I'll have a light amount of spots in a week, and I go, you know, it's just, sometimes it doesn't work out for people.
Yeah.
Like, I go, like, the amount of people who have been doing it as long as me, who are hustling and busting their ass, and they haven't gotten the opportunities I've gotten, because, you know, I think success, and I think we talked about this off air, but it's
there's always luck involved.
It's being prepared for luck.
It's,
you do the work,
luck involved.
Especially in entertainment, it's like, you hope the right door comes along.
You can be super talented,
and
but
never.
If you're successful and you think it has absolutely nothing to do with luck, you're fucking insane.
Yeah. You got lucky. You happened upon the right people in the right circumstances with your talent, sometimes, or whatever. But like, Yeah. And then, like, I've started catching myself and being like, you know, how dare I? Which is probably not good either. But it's like, I don't know. I'm just trying to work on appreciating what I have. But wait, let me go back to the stomach thing really quick.
Okay.
Because it does tie into, like, the bar we have, or, like, yeah, what we do with those moments where we go, oh my god, yes, you're so brave. And it's like, yeah, we're not soldiers. But you're not supposed to be brave. We're supposed to be fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It isn't helpful. I'm like...
It brings us all down.
We're not children. We're women. We're not children where you have to be like, oh my god, your stick drawing is so great. You know, like...
Yeah. And...
If it's funny, laugh. If it's not funny, don't. But what's this, like... Yeah, like, I'm not doing
the good point. Yeah, I'm not, it's, go be a speaker.
And then, like, these clips get, like, all these views, and then it's men mad that it's not funny, and sometimes they're right. And then women being like, men are mad, blah, 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 and it's like, sometimes they are. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that's not the case. Like, there are times where, men, women, whoever, internet trolls are disgusting.
Yeah, and there are people on the internet who objectively, no matter what you say, are never going to find women funny.
But let's just stop pretending that every woman is funny.
Yeah, because every man's not funny. And that's the thing, is when it's so disrespectful to me, to the women who are very funny, for you to go, we should lower the bar so that other women can feel included. It's like, no, I fucking reached the bar.
Yeah.
I met the bar. I jumped over the fucking bar.
Mm-hmm.
Work harder. Find the... Like, you don't... I don't know. It's insulting to the fact that there are women who are 100% capable of achieving the exact same thing men do. That people go, well, you know, like, she's a woman.
Which, by the way, I'm not even mad at those women. Like, great, like, good for you.
Yeah, fucking, what's capitalism? Take the money and run.
Love it for you. It's just the people that, at the top, who I know are just like, yeah, any of them.
Sure. Yeah, just any woman. I shouldn't have my gender discounted.
Plug one in there.
For being funny to you. I can't believe it. Yeah. Are you even a woman? It's like, yeah, there's plenty of us. You just fucking take a second and look around.
Yeah.
Yeah. God damn it. Wait, the stomach thing. I want to say one more thing. Okay. For years, I would be like this, and people would be like, I would literally, girlfriends would be like, you're crazy. And sometimes you are. Body dysmorphia is real. We are hyper-focused on, God bless someone whose entire, I think Danny Jollis tweeted, I wish I was good-looking enough that a pimple could ruin my day. Mm-hmm. But, like, to have a tiny little thing.
That's true. When women are like, I feel bloated, I'm like, how can you tell? Like,
yeah, no! Dude, I'm like, I wish I was ever thin enough to know.
Yeah, yeah, that I look slightly fatter than I.
Yeah, that I'm like, maybe I'm just constantly bloated. Yeah, maybe I'm actually rich.
Mushroom coffee.
But my poster, I did Edinburgh Fringe, and my poster, I'm fucking naked, and I'm doing, like, sitting cross-legged, and it was about doing a meditation, but I'm bare.
I remember.
I'm so sorry. It was a very manic time in my life, but... I stayed in an apartment with three other comedians and to, like, get ourselves hyped up, we're like, you have to print a bunch of posters and you have to go around and hang them up and stuff. So we're like, let's all put our posters up in the kitchen, you know, woo, let's get excited at the beginning of the fucking long ass month. And we put our posters up and it was me, Bronson Jones, Jeffrey Baldinger, and this hilarious British comic, Eleanor Conway. I'd never met her before, but she's fucking incredible. And we're all living together. I put my poster up and immediately she goes, what's wrong with your stomach, mate? And I went, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. She's like, she literally was like, is that a C-section scar? What is that? Like, and I'm like, nope, just got a weird stomach. But yeah. I actually appreciated it because I was like, yes, it's fine that, like, I have a flaw. Let's not.
I have the same thing with, I had a friend recently and, you know, again, he's like an older guy, and we were writing together, and I went over to his place, and we hadn't written in a couple months. We hadn't worked on the script because it was the holidays. I was writing for a Netflix show.
Humble brag. Which show?
It was Torching 2024.
Have you seen it? Go watch it. It's great.
Yeah. Tim Dillon plays the ghost of Brian Thompson, the United CEO.
My favorite part, honestly. I fucking cried. I was at the taping. I mean, I saw you there, but.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking so funny.
I was busy, and during that busy time, when I'm in a writer's room, I gain so much weight because one, you're like working long hours, you're sitting a lot.
Sitting. Is there snacks?
And there's hella snacks.
I think about that all the time with. I've been on set a couple times recently. In the last like year, I've just had these really bit parts just as an actor. And I'm like, I couldn't be a regular on a sitcom. By the end of the season, I'd be a different person.
Right. I think about that all the time too because I'm just a writer. Nobody gives a fuck how I look. But like, when I think about like, yeah, people on sitcoms who have to stay like in shape and they're around this all the time, like,
yeah,
there's constantly just.
But it's also sugar. Like, we're fucking women. We're like. Trying to stay in shape, we're in Hollywood, so even if you're like, I'm okay with who I am, you're like, right?
Yeah.
I'm happy.
And you're stressed out, and you're there early, and you're like, fuck it, if I want a donut, I'll have a donut, or whatever. But anyway, I gained a bunch of weight, and I went over to this guy's place, he hadn't seen me in a couple months, and I mentioned gaining weight, and he was like, he goes, you gain the weight the same way that I do, like, in your face, like, you gain the same holiday weight that I did, and I was like,
okay.
And then I like went to the gym immediately after. But I
was like, I didn't even notice. I think you're great.
But I was also like, he didn't mean it like, oh, you look less attractive. Like he was like,
no.
Yeah, you know what?
Men are also no bullshit about that.
Yeah, he was like, you're hot. Which I don't think this is true. He was like, you're hot enough to get away with murder. And I was like, I'm gonna have to if you keep talking.
Don't shut your fucking mouth, dude.
But he was like, yeah, but you've gained a little weight. That's fine. It's like. It's true. Someone can gain a little weight and it doesn't hinder their attractiveness.
No.
You can say, like, if someone says, I hate it when I'm like, yeah, I gained some weight. And people are like, no, you can't even tell. And it's like, bitch, yes, you can.
Like, I mean, especially, like, if it's an amount that you're like, don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's fine, but, like, don't pretend it's not here. It's like when someone says good set after you bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I don't trust you.
Exactly. If I've gained it, to be like, but you can lose it and you still look fine.
Yeah, just go, who gives a shit, you look fine.
Yeah.
Or just go, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? And we all live in seasons.
Right. That's the thing, is like, it's temporary. You can take it off, you can put it on, it's fine.
But it's like, so sensitive for us, for women.
It is. And then like, for, when someone bombs, just be like, yeah, wasn't your best set, but,
yeah, we all bomb.
You're funny, and it happens to all of us.
Yeah, or go, you know, maybe. You bomb all the time.
Yeah, maybe you should stop.
Maybe quit. Is there anything else you want to do? You don't have to do this.
It's so funny. I have a friend, and I'm kind of mean to him all the time, but he was like, he's very nice and whatever, but I got off stage one time after not doing great, and he was like, you crush, and I was like, I think you just don't know what crushing is because you've never done it.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's another, like, the levels of talking about your career or talking about, like, how you're feeling in, like, failures or not feeling good. It is a weird, like, if you know what it feels like to absolutely kill.
Yeah.
And you do. And I do. We do. I don't know. In my opinion, it's like, even doing decent feels like shit to me. Which I hate. And I try not to, like, I'm like, it was fine.
Even if a set goes really well, I'm so toxic. Even if a set goes really well, if everyone else in the lineup also did really well, I'm like, okay, well.
Which is a good crowd.
If I like,
I have to be better than the rest of the lineup.
I'm only happy if everyone else bombs and I do.
When it's like an audience that you're like, they suck.
This crowd sucks.
There is something.
And I did well.
There is something especially great about that thing. That's how my first Don't Tell was. Yeah. I think they only used one or two sets from it, but I was fourth or fifth in the lineup, and they kept coming back and going, guys, just stick to your jokes. We know the crowd's weird. We'll figure it out in post. Don't let it stress you out. People were eating dicks. And then I went up and I had a really good set. I crushed.
It's the best feeling.
Yeah, because you're like, wasn't the crowd for me? But you're like, why am I delighting in the fact that all of you suffered?
And then the opposite feels awful. Like, recently I had a set where the crowd was clearly very hot. It was a hot crowd.
Oh no.
And I had
I've been this person.
Very mediocre set. And people were like, it wasn't, you didn't bomb. And I'm like, for that crowd, that was bombing.
Yeah, I've had that where it's like, they just, it's not as much as everyone else is getting. And it does make you feel like.
Yeah, I'm like, they don't like me.
It feels so personal.
Don't like me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because with this one, it felt like the minute I stepped on stage.
I was gonna just going to say, like, sometimes, and not always, I do think there are people who blame the crowd way too much. Sometimes I'm like, this is, like, you don't know me, but somehow personal, where it's like, instantly, you go, I haven't even said a joke, and I can already tell that you guys are like, no.
I think sometimes they just don't connect with you.
And yeah.
From, sometimes it'll be like, from the first thing I say, and then I think I get in my head, and I go, if the first thing I say they don't laugh at or don't connect with, I go, fuck, we don't like each other.
I hate you.
I hate you, you hate me, and now I'm gonna be... I'm never combative. I try not to ever mention if it's not going well.
I wish I could stop.
It's a habit that everyone has, and I try not, and I still do it sometimes, but I really try not to. I think doing cold opens at the store has helped me with that because, one, cold opens never really go that well.
Yeah, there's a reason it's called cold open.
You don't want to, like, open up the show with that energy.
No, you're like, my job is to get the crowd kind of going.
I don't want
to
fuck over the next comic by being like, you guys suck.
Who's your next comic?
You know, and, like, so I think that's kind of beaten that out of me. But I still will just, in my head, get in my head and be like, fuck. And then I'll maybe do jokes that I know they're going to hate because I'm like, fuck you.
Self-sabotage, yeah.
Fuck you, you're gonna hate this, and,
just dig your heels in.
And I'm just gonna smile at you while you hate it.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, it's like a thing where it's like, yeah, we don't like each other in this moment.
Yeah, I've done that. You know what, when I'm in a good headspace, when I'm, like, other things, other sets, stuff is going on in my life where I feel, I hate, the stuff has to be going on for me to feel, like, mm-hmm. self-confident. But when I'm in a good headspace and I feel like that instantly, I'm going to do a joke that always works. And if they're not on board with that, I'm just going to quietly accept that they don't like me. And I'm going to play around with what I want to play around with and treat it like a open mic with a big crowd. And of course, those are the only sets where the booker is always in the room. But standing ovations, the booker has left town.
Yeah.
but yeah, that like, that's on those few days where I'm in a good headspace where I go, well, nothing I could do is going to make them. So I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fuck around. But when it's not a good day, I go, oh, what are you fucking? Here comes a lady. We don't know her from TV. And I'm just like a crazy person.
I just retreat. Like I retreat into myself. I'm not giving them what I should be giving them.
Yeah. It's like, instead of trying, just like, well, maybe we can get them on board. Up. Yeah.
Yeah. I give up, and that's something I really have to work on, and being able to flip.
There goes the camera.
Okay.
It's fine. No, keep talking. This is audio only now.
Okay. Being able to, like, flip a switch to where I'm not bringing on whatever feelings I'm having off stage, on stage.
That is a talent in and of itself.
I used to be really good at it.
You know what's so funny is when I'm, and I've had multiple people say this, and just for the record, if you're listening and you're a booker or you're a comic or you're a comedy fan, don't say this to people, but I've had so many people throughout my career who have interacted with me off stage and then seen me on stage, right, either before or after, go, you're never better than when I think maybe you're going to kill yourself. Your comedy is great when you are at the end of your rope.
Wow.
And I think that's because in those moments, I truly don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So then it's like I've let go of... And by the way, I'm not saying, I don't think it's even true. I think I can do great comedy not in that. But I have to be like at the lowest point mm-hmm. where it's like, I don't give a shit if you like me or not. But most of the time, my base level is I'm stressed about life. This fucking thing. Oh, was that a weird interaction? Does the door guy hate me? I want to be friends with everyone. And it's like, anyway, showtime.
Yeah.
Hoo-hoo. What a hoo. And it's trying to go on to like, I'm an onstage the persona of yourself, because it's, and I'm still me on stage, just heightened.
Right, exactly.
But sometimes it's like, I can't heighten.
I think the fact that I'm, the more I am myself on, so this is the problem, is that I used to be able to flip this switch where, like, I was, if I was feeling really drained and depressed and awful off stage, like, I remember there was one time where I was bawling my eyes out in the green room because of some dude, just bawling my eyes out. And then they were like, you're on next. And I was like, okay. And then I went out there and, like, had a great set.
Yes! Yes!
And I came back into the green room and someone was like, you're a psychopath.
I've literally had where I'm like boogers in the car and I'm like, I should cancel.
But I think it's because at that time, I was more playing a character. Like, it was like kind of early on in my stand-up where I hadn't really found my voice yet.
Yeah, but you're like, that's, every comedian goes through that.
I wasn't being myself yet on stage, so I was able to kind of go out there and act. Whereas now, I feel like I'm more in the moment on stage. I'm definitely more myself. I'm giving more of myself. But because of that, I realized that it's not as easy for me to flip that switch between on stage and off stage me.
Yeah, you know? Hence that message.
And hence
what a full circle.
Message. And I was like, should I just quit performing? But yeah, I think that it's harder now. And the first time I ever really felt it was after I went through that breakup when I was staying with you. He broke up with me over text, and then I had a show that night. And I was like, fuck. And then I went, and I was like, fine, I did it, and I go on. I think I was supposed to do a 10-minute set, and after 5 minutes, I was like, I'm going to cry if I stay up here. So I just was like,
thank you for your time.
Yeah, all right, that's my time. I brought the host back up early because I was like, I was about to cry on stage, and I had never felt that before. Even in times where I was like so sad, so depressed, I never felt like I was going to, that usually, just like when you have to pee before you go on stage.
It goes away.
It goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
So like any liquids leaving your body, it's not supposed to happen on stage.
No.
So, like, that slip would switch. But then, you know, that day was the first day I was like, oh, I'm bringing everything with me on stage, and that's terrifying.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is, like, the more you find your voice, for most people, I mean, some people do a full-blown character.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it is you. So then, like, trying to be present and, like, because comedy feels the best when you are, like, present and connecting and the jokes are hitting. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, when you have this heavy weight that you're... And the thing is, like...
And I feel like I'm lying to them if I'm feeling like that inside. And I'm like...
Yeah, just going, cats are crazy!
Yeah. And I feel like... And then I just start to, like, feel defeated. I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, what are any of us doing?
Like,
it's like... Well, it's one thing to, like... I think most people feel like, okay, I can't cry at work. Mm-hmm. And people do, but they're like, I got to keep it locked up. But that's like, you're going into your office, you're going into your...
You find the places you can cry.
Hands on them. Yeah, you find a corner. But then it's one thing to have to go do your spreadsheets or what, give a small presentation maybe like to 4 people or manual labor and try not to cry. When you're... Not only are you trying to withhold your emotions, but you are now responsible for the emotions of a room of people. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I'm not only supposed to pretend I'm happy, I have to make you guys happy. Yeah. It's a fucking mindfuck.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. I've cried on stage.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't even remember, but it was probably like a guy, mm-hmm. like I was fresh out of a breakup and sad mm-hmm. about it, and like,
were you able to recover from it?
I mean, I tell myself I recovered. Mm-hmm. I think some people got on board with what I did, but it was like, I literally think I was like, oh, you've never just had to cry? Oh, I'm sorry. Everything's going. It was like, you know, late night in the original room at the comedy store. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Everything's just sunshine and rainbows for you guys. Yeah, of course I'm crying. Like, it's like, life is terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was probably one of those moments, not to circle back to like, yes, but then I was like, oh, this just feels worse.
Yeah,
where people go, she's an artist.
Stop being so supportive. I hate it.
Yeah, boo me. I'm bombing.
Yeah,
I was cuter then. Anyway, oh, this sad little young girl.
isn't that wild when you start to realize, like, oh, I'm too old to be having mental breakdowns. It's not cute anymore.
Oh, it's not cute anymore.
It used to be, like, people used to be like, oh, I just want to protect you. And, like, you're just like, I feel like you're, like, my little sister. And now it's just like,
now people are like, lock it up.
Grow up, bitch. Go.
I can see your 11s. Fucking go to therapy. Yeah. Like, knock it off. It's like, you get your shit together.
Yeah.
And as much as I'm like, sometimes we all don't have our shit, but I'll do it to other people too. I mean, I've literally started making jokes about it. But like,
yeah, well, I used to be like, so like, just talk about my depression all the time and whatever. And I'd be the person that when you came up and you were like, how are things going? I'd be like, not good.
Fucking Eeyore.
I literally was Eeyore. And now I'm still depressed all the time. And like, I'll talk about it like just in like a fun way.
A kooky way.
But like, I try to now be more, not dump my shit on other people all the time.
Oh, me too.
I used to dump my shit on other people.
On the world. The fucking open Facebook posts I would do about mental health.
Oh my God, same.
And at the time, I was like, I'm sharing.
I'm an artist.
And now I go, that's embarrassing. But then there's a sick part of me that was like, I was getting a lot of engagement on those. We're like, oh, people came around more when I was talking about killing myself. That's bad.
It's weird how much more I used to post about, like, my personal life.
Me too. And now I'm like,
ugh, if it's not comedy, get it off.
But then I am like, I'm glad I don't do it. But then there's a part of me that's like, as you get older, you like gain self-awareness in a way that sometimes makes you more ashamed of like your younger self. And then I go, is that detrimental for my comedy to be ashamed?
Right. Well, I remember like Nikki Glaser, when she first saw me, being like, because there were like jokes being made about my suicide attempt, and I was just kind of like
hot
laughing it off and you know, making jokes about it or whatever. And she was like, if I was able to do that when I was 23, because at the time I was like 23, 24, if I was able to do that, like, she's like, I'm able to do that now, but like, I wish I was able to do that, like, as young as you are, but now I feel like I'm getting less and less able to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want people to know that I'm sad.
Yeah, I don't want people to, like, look at me and go, it's like, I want people to think I'm funny, and I don't want to think about them going, you know, we don't know how much longer she'll be around. I don't want to be my grandpa at Christmas, where it's like, this might be the last show she does.
I'll say stuff and I'll make jokes about it just because I think it, like, resonates with people sometimes, but if I'm not being funny about it, I don't want to do it. I don't want to sit here and be like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
On
I'd like,
podcast.
I don't want to just be vulnerable.
I used to have full podcasts where I was just like, I want to fucking kill myself.
That should like, be the name of your podcast.
Like, genuinely, was just like talking about how sad I was. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I get it. I'm the same, where it's like, there's a level where it's cathartic. I think there is a level of, it's a certain amount is good for people to hear, so they feel like, oh, it's not just me.
Right, and if I wanted to be a fucking influencer.
Yeah, no, I'm like, oh, if I wanted to pivot to mental health.
Then I could do that, but it's like, when I got into comedy, it was because it was a good distraction for me, and I want to be a good distraction for somebody else.
Yeah, you know? I have to think about that sometimes when I go to post with my comedy, because like, you know, I care about people and I hope that like resonates, but sometimes it's like, I got to stop myself from posting so many, I'll share these like mental health things or like, we got to do this. And then I sometimes remind myself that I'm like, okay, but this page is for my comedy. Mm-hmm. And what is the brand here? What are people coming to see?
Yeah.
And it's like, if I want it to be more, that's fine. But if what I want is for people to come here and go, she's funny. Mm-hmm. I got to stick to the like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's sometimes, I don't know, a weird gray area, because people are like, yeah, there's all sides of me. It's like, yeah, but do I want them here on this JMS comedy?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking stupid Instagram handle. Anyway. Kill me. Okay. This has been great.
Has it? I hope so.
This has been the worst conference. Just kidding.
Every time I'm on a podcast, I'm like, was I entertaining at all?
You were great.
And then if I did feel entertaining, I'm like, oh, did I say way too much?
Oh, yeah, where it's like, do I need to have them retract? I never want to go. The podcasts I've done it throughout my, oh my God, in the early like 2010s, mm-hmm. the way I would just go off the handle, it's like, God knows what I've said about anyone.
This is why I don't like date at all. This is why I don't like go on apps and stuff. I legitimately feel like I've tried to set up one date recently on an app. Like I've never, I think I went on one date from Tinder like 12 years ago. And ever since then, I've never gone on like a date from an app. But I tried to, I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to try this. And I met this guy and we were talking and he was like a, I don't know, something impressive. like some kind of neuroscience biologist
or something.
I don't know.
That's cool.
And he was like, he seemed really cool and sweet and whatever. And he was stoked and we were going to meet up. And then I think he found me online. And I think he was like, well, best of luck to you. And he canceled the date and then he did.
What a piece of shit.
He did not follow it. And I was like, I guarantee you this guy like.
You know what though? It's like.
Found me. Because I don't have that I'm a comedian on my profile. I didn't. He kept asking like what I.
Would you say, do you say you're a writer?
No, what did I say? I kept avoiding the question to the point where he might have thought I was a stripper. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, this woman is a hooker. She's going to rob me. I mean, sex worker, whatever.
I kept avoiding the question.
He's like, she's got an OnlyFans.
I just like, every time I tell a guy I'm a comedian, the responses are always annoying.
Yeah, it's the worst. They up their like trying to be funny.
They up their trying to be funny.
I hope you don't put me in wrecked.
They say something fucking annoying. I don't, but I'm pretty sure he somehow
found me.
And then I'm like, the things I've said, the things that are out there, like nobody who doesn't get to know me first is going to want to date me. Like that's just.
Oh my, I'm the same way. Like, but the thing is like the right person, if they're going to look at that and go, oh no, thanks. It's like, they were never going to be the right person anyways. If you have to convince them to not be ashamed that you made a joke about suicide or whatever, I mean, I fucking talk about so much sex. It's like, they were going to crumble anyway. They're insecure and whatever. But, I hate it. It does take, we get fucked. Female comedians, and I say this again, I know I like am very lucky. I love my boyfriend and it kissed a lot of frogs. Mm-hmm. But, men, a fundamental part of like how men are socialized is to think like, I've got to be the funny one. So it fucks with them.
Yeah.
When we are funnier than them and we do it for a living and we're surrounded by the funniest men in the world.
I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, who was a Jewish man who was talking about how he realized he can only date Jewish women. and then I,
racist.
I'm not, I mean, it like when you have religious views, it's,
no, I'm Jew-ish. I'm a Jew. I'm Jew is what I just said. I am Jew.
I'm not Jewish, but my last two relationships have been with Jewish men.
Love them.
And then he was like, oh, you like Jews. And I was like, it's who I attract because a lot of men don't like funny women.
Jewish men do. Their moms were funny. They were loud, funny moms.
So, like, that's just
and unfortunately, yeah,
attracting.
Yeah, men want to fuck their moms. They want a mom they can fuck.
Right. In a relationship, I am critical and I'm funny. So I'm basically a Jewish mom. And
it does, like, yeah, there are men who have fucked up backwards views of women and they want, like, arm candy that's just going to think everything they do is great and funny and brilliant and just shut their mouth and be their sidekick. And
I will never be the, like, giggly, like, everything you say is funny. Like,
no.
I'll never be that. Even my friends get frustrated that I don't laugh at their.
I can't fake it. There was a time where I think I could have faked it a little, but like.
Well, I've been lectured for it. I was told in a writer's room, I was pulled aside by another writer who was like, I need to tell you this because I think you're really talented and I really want you to keep getting hired. You need to laugh at other people's jokes. He was like, it's just like, you have to. Or people aren't going to want to work with you.
They're not going to like you.
Yeah, they're not going to.
Because they're like, fuck her, she's a bitch.
Yeah, they're going to, like, they're going to think that you just don't.
Think they're funny? I don't. That's the thing, is it's like, okay, they should, you're in a writer's room. Mm-hmm. You should receive the feedback that this didn't cut it.
The problem is, the thing I've been trying to get better at, because I feel like even sometimes when I do think something's funny, I don't necessarily laugh.
Well, we're overexposed. We're desensitized.
Yes.
Or go, that's funny.
I'm like, oh, that's clever. You know, or like whatever. Or I'm thinking of a tag for it.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, you know, like my brain, if I think something's funny or I think a concept's funny, I go, okay, where can we take that?
You immediately start expanding on it.
Yeah. Which, that's a compliment too. If I'm like, oh yeah, we can get, but like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, there is a writer's room laugh and it's annoying. There's like, you can tell when people are doing the writer's room laugh and it's fucking annoying. And so, but like, I was pulled aside and told like, you got to do it because what I'm trying to get better at is not laughing if I don't think something's funny, but if I do think something's funny.
Actually laugh. Instead of going, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I've probably, I think we just, as comedians, get that because it's
a muscle you have to work.
It's so offensive to scientists to be like, it's kind of our science. But like, your brain does immediately start going like this, that. Like, I am writing tags for people whenever I don't even like to watch people's stuff anymore because I'm so paranoid of like, something seeping in my brain and years later me going, this is a funny idea. And it's like, that was tucked in from somebody. Like, I don't know. I'm so fucking, because we are absorbing constantly. Yeah. But anytime I'm watching a comedian, my brain is automatically going tag, this, that. Oh, you should say it like this.
So jokes don't really make me laugh anymore. It's the dumbest shit that makes me laugh.
Oh, like, yeah.
I was crying laughing because my roommate was doing like a self-tape.
I'm just laughing at self-tapes. Sorry.
And he had trained AI, or he was like trying to get AI to read the other lines for him.
Oh,
like basically instead of having someone
deeply relate to that, because that's the hardest part of self-tape, is asking for help.
ChatGPT read the lines for him, and for some reason,
I mean, it's insane.
For some reason, AI would read the line and do a weird moan, like it would read the line and go, ugh. And he was like, okay, can you do the line but not moan? And I would go, okay, I will not moan. And then it would do the line. I'm crying.
And then like try to not moan.
It would do the line and then moan again. And he was yelling at it. He was screaming at AI, do not do the moan. Okay, I will not moan.
That's so funny.
And then it would do the line again and then go,
Dude, the idea that like it's, I mean, it's got to be that AI is just not there yet, but the idea that AI is already fucking with us is so funny. I mean, that's... Also, for you to be sitting there and not offer to help.
Oh, well, I didn't know it was happening. I just heard him yelling at AI in his room.
And then
he was telling me that it was happening when he showed me the video of it, and I was just crying.
Casting directors will, like, be like, no. They'll throw things out. I know someone who has been asked to... This is so fucked up. Actually, I'm not even gonna tell you the story. I'll tell you it off air.
Tears streaming.
But I know. I wish the camera was still on. You guys should see it. It's it's great.
My eyes water so much, and when I laugh, I do cry. That's also why I can't laugh. Like if I laugh,
so you start crying.
I just start crying.
Dude, me too. When I laugh really hard, they just immediately.
I don't know why my eyes are watering all the time.
Maybe you do have allergies. Maybe it's because you're constantly on the cusp of crying and you're holding it in.
I think that's
your tears are right here. They're like,
because you know what's fun? I have a personal trainer and
hell yeah.
Whenever I do cardio, I start crying. And now she's just used to it. Like she's like,
I guess you just
keep going, bitch. But like I will literally be like crying as I'm doing cardio, and I think it's just I'm holding it in. And once I exhaust my body,
it can't hold it in anymore.
Can't hold it in anymore. So I'm just like crying while working out.
I cry while working out sometimes. Or like yoga. Mm-hmm. Forget it. I'll just get in a position and it's like, and I'm like, what's going on?
So at this point, I'm like, I can be talking like this, tears streaming down my face, and I'm just like, business as usual.
Business as usual. You're just sobbing. Yeah. Fuck. I love it. Oh my God. Okay. I'm not going to keep you here forever. Where can people find you?
At Nicole Buchanan on everything. BECANN.
Go find her. Go follow her. Go see her live. Watch Torching 2024 and all of the amazing things she does. This was great. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Bye! Bye.
Well, there you go, idiots. That concludes this week's episode of Ignorance is Blessed. If you want to hear any bonus portions of any episode, head over to punchup.live/JMS to hear and or watch those. If you have questions, comments, concerns on anything myself or a guest said, you can voice them over in the Facebook group. It's called Idiots. Find it at facebook.com/JMS Comedy. It's linked right there on my page. You can also suggest guests, interact with other fans of the show. It's a good time. Come on by. Also, if you haven't yet, please, please, please leave a rating and a review for the podcast. It helps me out big time. And if you like this guest, make sure you go follow them on all their social media. Okay, well, I guess I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for thanks for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.